is time for us as believers to stop sitting on the sideline and to go outside the four walls of the church and to really make a difference.
This is Family Policy Matters Focus on Faith Edition with Thomas Graham, Pastor Outreach Director for NC Family. Join us once a month as Pastor Graham shines some light on the intersection between our Christian faith and engaging our culture.
Thank you for joining us for this week's special Focus on Faith edition of Family Policy Matters. Today, I'm excited to have as my guests a beautiful couple from Eastern North Carolina who are answering God's call to love and serve in an unusual but desperately needed ministry. Chris and Anna Smith are co-founders of Restore One, a ministry that seeks to open shelters that offer faith-based residential recovery programs free of cost to American boys who are survivors of domestic minor sex trafficking. Chris and Anna Smith, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
Glad to be here.
I know that, I think I know that undertaking this kind of ministry must be rooted in a strong relationship with God. Can you tell us about your own stories and life experiences, particularly your faith? I'm sure that had a major role in preparing the soil of your heart to open to this mission when God called you.
Yes, sir, Pastor Thomas. It sure has for both of us. I think we would have to go all the way back. We're both 29 now, so I would say probably 10 years ago when we were 19 in college, we answered the call to be full-time youth pastors at a local church here in Greenville, North Carolina. And the pastor pretty much just came up to us and was like, hey, God's leading me to ask you guys to be youth pastors. And we were kind of like, okay, we haven't even graduated college yet. We're not really sure we could do this. But that was just following after God's leading and jumping into uncharted waters. But what we have found along every story that we've walked into that Jesus has for us, that even though we don't feel qualified, Jesus calls us. And he always, I think, calls the unqualified, and he equips us along the journey. And so I think, you know, it goes to show for both of us along our journey, Jesus has always continued to call us into things that made us step outside of our comfort zone and we're uncomfortable. And that's where we are at now. At Restore One. It's tons of faith to lead the faith ministry for 5 years in the midst of being in college and being engaged. And then now we're here with Restore One, just saying yes to what Jesus has for us. And that's opening a safe home for boys that's been victims of sex trafficking here in America.
Chris, I think that's wonderful. What was the catalyst to undertake a ministry, the first of its kind in the nation, I might add, to this particular and often overlooked aspect of the terrible, terrible problem of human trafficking? What was the catalyst?
Yeah, so after Chris and I left youth ministry, we just began to learn more and more about human trafficking, and particularly human trafficking here in the United States. And as we learned more about the issue, we discovered that there were no safe homes at the time for boys who are survivors of sexual trafficking. And we also began to learn that boys account for about 50% of the population of sexually trafficked and sexually exploited children. And so that was a huge catalyst for us to learn that. We'd already been working in the field of human trafficking for a couple years, and we knew that the Lord had laid on our heart to open a safe home. And when we learned about the issues as it pertains to boys, it was so incredibly clear that God was saying, go and open a safe home for boys who've been sexually trafficked.
Yeah, and I think, you know, both of us, you know, in the beginning, you know, I think for all of us, when Jesus calls us into something, you know, we get this vision of other people. Jesus calls them into something, they automatically say, yes, this sounds exciting, I can totally take this on.
Yeah.
And that's, right. I think that's very rarely the case. You know, at first I was kind of like, yes. You know, I don't even know what human trafficking is, Anna. Like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do to help address this? I'm a man. And that's when Jesus kind of said, hey, you know, Chris, the average buyer of a child in America is a middle-class man that's Caucasian, that has a family at home. You know, we need men just like me and you, Pastor Thomas, to step up and say, this is not okay. Whether you're a Christian or not, this is not how God created men to be.
Exactly. Boy, that's well said, Chris. So since saying yes to this call to begin this outreach, I'm going to just say that I imagine life has not been very smooth sailing. God rarely calls us to easy projects, and that's something you alluded to a few moments ago. What sort of bumps in the road have you encountered, and where have you drawn the motivation to just continue to persevere in the face of those challenges?
You are so correct that this endeavor, this ministry, has not been without share of hardships and obstacles to move through. Just to name a few, upon building the Anchor House, which is the safe home we're opening in just a few short months for boys who've been sexually trafficked, we had a high level of protesting happen.
Really?
We had to be around us, yeah, push back on the work we were doing. It lasted for about 2 to 3 months, and it was really just about 10 to 15 people causing a lot of noise, but it was incredibly stressful, and
it caused
a lot of attention, and thankfully it's resolved, but it was very disheartening to us as well, because it really been an experience where we were trying to be kicked out of where we had felt like the Lord wanted us to build this home. And another hardship, that it was about a year later, the home was getting ready to be open. We'd finished building. We were flooded by Hurricane Matthew. That was incredibly devastating and really tough to wrap our minds around how the Lord could allow something to come to pass of that nature. And we know so many were affected by Hurricane Matthew, not us. But
yes.
We are so grateful, though, that the Lord allowed us to be rebuilt. And we rebuilt restored the home. And we had tons of help from the community and people from across the nation. So we are grateful that we are on the other side and that we are getting ready to open. And God has just been incredibly faithful.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
You know, there are so many stories told of persons like yourself who begin a work that God has called them to, and there might be an inclination to think, well, with God's in it, everything's going to just be wonderful and proceeding forward. And then they begin to encounter obstacles of one sort or another. Like most people, they begin to question, Father, did you really call me to this? And it's so good to hear that there's a strength of conviction in your voices, that God has definitely called you, and that though there were obstacles and there have been challenges, and very likely there will be a few more, nevertheless, you're proceeding forward in fulfilling this vision and providing this service. I just think it's wonderful. Now, would you agree that this issue of human trafficking, like so many of the heartbreaking issues we see in our world today, that it's rooted in a widespread loss of respect for the intrinsic dignity of the human person?
I think we would most absolutely agree. If you look at the breakdown of what human trafficking is, it's the buying and selling of people, whether if it's for labor or a sexual purpose. And so, absolutely, you're looking at a person as a commodity, and there's a loss of seeing someone as the autonomy of a person when we buy into the system and the culture behind sexual trafficking. So I think it's absolutely deeply rooted in that, and I think we have to go back to our roots of understanding that we all bear the image of God. We all bear His face, and with that said, it should be a no-brainer that everyone, whether you're directly involved in addressing human trafficking, standing against it, though, I think is a no-brainer, because God would never, I can never see the Lord wanting or permitting anyone who bears His face, any of His creation, to be bought and sold.
Amen. Well said, Anna. Yeah. Perhaps, Chris, you could tell us about your work with Restore One and Anchor House. What kind of care do you currently offer, and how will Anchor House add to that?
Yeah, kind of what we do at Restore One, you know, in the beginning of Restore One, you know, we were not even addressing the issue of boys until about 2014 is when we started talking about that, launching the efforts towards building the Anchor House and raising the funds to do that. Some of the current work that we do is that, you know, when you think of human trafficking, you think that it usually only happens to girls. So one of the biggest things that we do at Restore One right now is awareness and education. It's very important that other organizations like us that might have a home for girls or just have educational programs or awareness programs, it's very important to us to train the public and bring awareness to the public that, hey, it's not just happening to females. And if it is happening to males, it's not just happening in labor trafficking. Boys are being sold across the world, and yes, on the streets of America. And it is our duty to bring awareness to this issue accurately. And so we train and educate many different people. We were invited to many different conferences across America to share about the work of Restore One and bring the educational piece about boys being trafficked. One of the other pieces that we do with that awareness education is a boys documentary, something that we've pioneered. And what we've done is we have sat down with about 6 to 7 survivors. They are now adults, and we've been able to hear their story. We've been able to capture the heart that they have for this issue, for something to be done. And they all come back to the same statement, is that there was no help for them. And if they did out and speak, they were shamed. And so that is some of the work that we do. But we believe the Anchor House is something that is desperately needed, a long-term care home for boys that's been victims of sex trafficking. We have it for girls. We have it for adults. We need it for these boys. We need this home open so boys can start and to begin the healing process.
Chris, what do you want to share with families who may not have realized how significant of a risk human trafficking is for our young people today?
You know, I think a couple of different things comes to mind when asked this question. First, it's never too early, in our opinion, to bring up the issue to your kids in an educational, safe way, of course. But also telling our kids, if someone harms you, someone touches you inappropriately, it is okay for you to come to me and to tell me about that. I think another thing is that what can your family do to address this issue? Anne and I believe, and I think, you know, a lot of us believe that Jesus himself has given his sons and daughters a very specific and unique gift and talent. And we can use that gift and talent to address just the darkness of this world that is around us. And so what are you using your gifts and talents to help change the world? It is time for us as believers to stop sitting on the sideline and to go outside the four walls of the church and to really make a difference. You know, Jesus said, go into the world, and that world is overseas. That world is our neighbor. That world is our backyard. It is the community that we live in. So I think, you know, asking what can I do to make a difference around me every day?
I think part of, too, what we encourage folks to do, if they're not hands and feet involved in a ministry addressing human trafficking, is that you can always donate and give financially, give your prayers. I truly believe that this work that we are doing addressing human trafficking, any form, is truly a spiritual battle. So the more prayer warriors have involved, I truly believe the better. These strongholds, I think, that we are up against addressing are not just new strongholds, but they've been around for eons. And so slavery is not a new issue, right? But it's an old issue. But I believe God is calling a new generation, a new group of people to address this, and particularly here in the United States.
Well, I am so glad that he has called you to, and it's clear just listening to you both speak how deeply convicted you are to reach out with every resource God places in your hand to help these boys, and I commend you for it. You know, Chris and Anna, we're nearly out of time for this week. Where can our listeners go to learn more about Restore One or even to support your work?
Sure, it's easily restoreonelife.org, and that is all spelled out, onelife.org, restoreonelife.org. We also have a very, very strong presence on Facebook. Just type in Restore One on your search bar, and we will come up. We're also on Twitter and Instagram. But the best way to connect with us is restoreonelife.org and our Facebook.
Wonderful. Well, Chris and Anna Smith, I want to thank you both so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters today. Thank you, and God bless you both.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, Focus on Faith Edition, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.